Yo, what's good, everybody? Yo, what's good? Welcome to another edition of the Sit Down. I'm your man, Earl B. And first and foremost, here's what I want to tell you. Never, ever give up on your dream. Never give up on your dream. I don't care. I don't care what your mama say. I don't care what your daddy say. I don't care what your sister say, your brother. I don't care what your friends say. Never, ever give up on your dream, because I'm going to tell you right now, if I had gave up on my dream, I wouldn't be right here coming through your airwaves. I'm just going to tell you. If I had gave up on my dream, I wouldn't have Midwest Flavor, I wouldn't have Stiletto Talk, and I wouldn't have Exquisite Connoisseur. I wouldn't have The Sit Down, and I wouldn't have Exquisite Living. All right, so here's what I need you to understand. Get away from dream killers. I'm just telling you, you got to get away from dream killers. Anybody that tell you can't do it, or somebody that try to talk you out of doing it, get away from them. All right, so today I got a special guest in the building, and I'm going to tell you this right here. My little sister, who's not my little sister, who is the pain to be my little sister, but is my little sister. You know what I'm saying? Shout out to Jody Cooper. She the one made this thing. She told me, she said, bro, we got to get Nelson on the show. We got to get you. You got to meet him. And so today I got somebody. Oh my God, I'm so excited about this, to have him in the building. Ladies and gentlemen, put your hands together. As we come up on election time, we understand having the right leadership is important. Being in office means you have to have a heart to serve people. So today on the Sit Down, we have somebody that represents change. Welcome, Nelson Gabriel, to the Sit Down. It's an honor. It's an honor, man.
I'm humbled to be here.
I
am very humbled to be here.
Hey, I'm going to tell you, man, I read a lot of bios in my time. Out of the hundreds, thousands, I've had like four move me. I mean, really move me. Reading yours last week, when your assistant sent it to me, moved me, man, to where I wanted to be a better servant. Because in order to be a leader, you have to be a great servant. So, how did you get here?
Life.
Yeah.
Happens.
Yeah.
I'm thrilled about the opportunity to be here with you.
Yeah.
But more importantly, I'm thrilled about the opportunity to serve our community.
Absolutely.
For the last, I guess, half of my life.
Okay.
I've been in public service.
Okay. Okay.
Maybe really more than half.
Yeah.
I've been a servant because I understand that in order for you to get people to follow you.
Yeah.
You got to be willing to do what they do.
Say that.
So, I mean, I understand passing out papers. I mm-hmm. understand mm-hmm. Feeding the hungry.
Yeah.
I understand all of those things because those are things that I lead.
Okay.
Now, you know,
yes.
So, but I've always been a part of it. And one of the things I tell a bunch of the young people that I've been able to experience with here lately is that, you know, don't ask somebody to do something that you're not willing to do.
Oh, man, say that. You know, that is key advice.
Because we're not on top yet. You know,
yeah.
You know, even where I am now, you know, there are things that, you know, I'm not going to ask people to do something that, first of all, one, that I don't know what to do.
Yeah.
Or how to do.
Absolutely.
You know, unless I'm asking them for advice to teach me something.
Absolutely.
You know, but other than that, it's something that I'm willing and able to do as well.
Yeah.
So I'm here as a product of God's grace for real.
Absolutely. His mercy and grace.
His grace has kept me.
Yeah.
His grace has molded me. His grace has shaped me.
Yeah.
In spite of all of my downfalls and my down outs.
All right.
He's really kept me and protected me.
Okay.
And so I'm here really as an instrument, as a tool.
Man, say that.
Being used by God to bless the community that I live in, work in, and serve. Yeah. I'm just excited about that fact.
Absolutely. We all know you're excited about getting in the office. We all know that. What made you want to be in office?
You know, I've been in Kansas City now for the better part of 20 some more years. 20 years.
All right.
And I've lived in the same district the whole entire time.
Okay.
And I've not seen the needle moved.
Oh, man.
In one way or the other.
Yeah.
I mean, things have gotten, some people say they've gotten worse, but I've just seen the status quo going. It has been leveled.
Yeah.
The status quo.
Yeah.
And being a servant and being in public service and helping our community and being a collaborator and an organizer.
Yeah.
I mean, I was like, okay, God, if I can do that in this arena.
Absolutely.
Can I take those skills that you've given me and use them for the betterment of our community?
Mm-hmm.
We have present leadership that we don't know.
Okay, say it, man.
That we have not heard from.
Yeah.
That we don't know. We're not informed about what's going on in Topeka at all.
Oh, my God.
Unless we hear from somebody else.
Absolutely.
Instead of the people that are supposed to represent us.
Absolutely.
So I am interested in being an agent of change.
Okay.
Of keeping the community informed.
Okay.
About what's going on.
Absolutely.
Because one thing about it, people, you might not be able to do anything about a situation for some people.
Right.
But if they know that you're listening, and you're hearing, and you're responding in the way that you can, people are accepting of that.
Absolutely.
You know, I mean, because there are people that come in my office every day. Now, there's some things we can do, but there's some things we can't do.
Absolutely.
But they're just happy to know that we're there to listen and to make the call.
Yes.
You know, a lot of times people want to help. They say we want to help, but they're not willing to take the stand and make the call.
Yes.
To make the hard call.
Absolutely.
To ask the hard questions, because our community have hard questions.
Yeah, we do.
You know,
yes, we do.
You know, why are our children graduating from school and still can't read?
Yeah.
That's a hard question.
Yeah.
You know, why are our kids graduating from school and still not moving or matriculating in life other than standing on a corner?
Say that.
That is a problem for me.
Yeah.
Now,
yeah.
What I want to do is educate our community.
Yeah.
Educate our community on what I can and I can't do.
Absolutely.
First of all, I have to tell everybody that I talk to, first of all, I'm one of 125.
Yeah.
So there's 124 other voices that I'm getting ready to lend my voice to.
Absolutely.
To bring about a change for the whole.
Yes.
But I believe that as a leader, you have a right and a responsibility to open your mouth and say something on behalf of your people, to let people know that your people are hurting.
Say that.
That your people are in need. And that's my goal. My goal is to be that voice. To say, hey, we over here.
Yeah.
Now, I don't know what y'all doing over there.
Yeah.
But we are still here.
Absolutely.
And we need help.
Absolutely.
And there ought to be some things. There ought to be some relationships you can leverage.
Yes.
There ought to be some connections that you can bring to the table.
Yes.
To bring about something to add relief for your community. But more importantly, keeping them informed about what's going on.
Yeah.
You know, the Bible is clear. People perish because of a lack of knowledge.
Lack of knowledge. Yes.
They don't have it.
That's right.
So my job is to make sure that the people in my district don't perish, because I want them to have the knowledge of, and understanding. So if I'm on a state level, I can bring the local level. I can bring some local leaders together.
Yeah.
Let's sit down and talk about what's going on in our district.
Yes.
Why?
Yes.
This is still the same way it is. I moved in the district, I said, over 20 years ago.
Yeah.
There was a sign. I'm not going to put it out on blast. There was a sign. Future home of a such and such, such and such. I'm just going to leave it at that. Because folks know what I'm talking about, right?
Yeah.
That sign is still up today, 20 years later.
Man.
No movement on the needle.
Wow.
We started building a subdivision.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, housing. Why would you put that in our district when we can't even afford it?
Right.
We don't have the jobs. My district encompasses Fairfax.
Okay.
All of the jobs down there, the majority of them are not people that live in our city.
Yeah.
Or not in our county.
Say that.
They come from other places.
Right.
To get jobs that are in our county.
Yeah.
Why don't we have the skills or the training to do that? Now, that's our job.
Yeah.
As state legislators. We can have, we have work, we have oversight of workforce development programs and funding to make sure that our people are trained to get those jobs.
Yeah.
So that they can have better housing.
Yeah.
You know, if a person got a good job, not a job.
A great job.
But a career job.
Yeah.
Something that has some benefits to it.
Yeah.
You know, something where I got a retirement and some other things, and I'm making a livable wage.
Yeah.
Wage where that after I pay my bills, I still got something left.
Absolutely.
You know what I'm saying? So there are jobs that are available like that. But the problem is we don't have the skill set.
So let me ask you this, man. Why ain't no other representatives, man? You know, I ain't trying to put them on blast, but... Yeah, I'm trying to put them on blast. Why come they, you know what I'm saying, they don't just come back to the community and sit down with the people, man? What has gone wrong with this?
I believe that one of the things that I found out, my present race, is that we elect leaders, and we don't challenge them. And when they're not challenged, they become complacent.
Okay.
And so we have a lot of leaders that are complacent. You know, the people going to reelect me. I'm not worried about it. You know, they don't want change, you know. And we are so divided as a community.
Yes, we are.
That when we speak, they hear fragments.
Yes.
They don't hear unity.
Yeah.
They don't hear commitment.
Yeah.
And we don't get along.
That's the main thing.
And we don't get along. And I've been praying and asking God for real. How do we come together as a community for real?
Yes.
Oh, yeah. We have a good Martin Luther King celebration.
Yeah.
Everybody happy and jumping around.
Yeah.
But what happens after
That's what I'm talking about. That's what I'm talking about.
We get ready for the next one.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? So there are some things that we have to do consistently as a community to bring about unity for change. Because really and truly... you know, we can sit and talk all day. We can have meetings. We can have workshops. We can have it all.
Yeah.
But there's got to be follow through.
Absolutely.
And we got to have follow through for the next thing. Now, that's on one side of it. The people side.
Oh, yeah. Let's talk about the people.
The people side.
Yeah.
We got to stop. We got to position ourselves to receive. We're not living in a microwave community.
Say that.
I heard a friend of mine told me the oven still works.
Yeah, that's what I'm talking about.
Yeah, it's not just about a microwave society.
Yeah.
You know, we want it now.
Yes.
I mean, it's instant potatoes.
Yeah.
You know, instant macaroni and cheese. Yeah. Instant this.
Yeah.
Well, I'm from the old school.
Yeah.
I like mine on the pot with the fire. Yeah,
talk to me.
You see what I'm saying? I want mine real hot, you know, and I don't want it to taste like the microwave.
Yeah.
I want it to be real.
Absolutely.
And that's how we ought to want life. You know, I mean, my mom used to always tell me, anything you get fast, it ain't going to last long.
That's true. My mom used to say
that. And I was like, you know, that's true. Because I look at past relationships, I look at a lot of stuff.
Yeah.
That, you know, stuff we got fast, it don't last long.
Absolutely.
I want to be a voice to help raise the level of consciousness within my community that's lasting.
Yeah. Okay.
That's not just here for a one day show.
Okay.
But that's lasting.
Yeah.
And that starts with accountability, transparency.
Absolutely.
You know what I'm saying? Because the reason I can say those things is because I haven't always been those things.
Okay. Meaning
you said we got to keep it real,
hey,
right?
Let's keep
it real. Yeah. Haven't always been that way.
Yeah.
So I know what it takes to be that way.
Absolutely.
I know what it is to have my feet held to the fire.
Mm-hmm.
I know what it means to be accountable.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? I know what it is to mess up. And I know what it is for God to give you another chance.
Absolutely.
You know, I'm sitting here across this desk talking to you right now.
Yeah.
You know, because of his grace of allowing me the platform of another chance.
Say that, brother.
And my job is to share with every person in my community that not only is it available for me,
yes,
but it's available for you.
Say that, man.
You know, a
Say
lot that. Of times we get, I got mine, you get yours.
Yeah.
Well, the problem, the reason why I could have had all of that.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I could be farther along than I am right now.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? If I would have had that attitude.
Right.
I got mine, you get yours.
Absolutely.
But my problem is, I've always wanted to bring the community up.
Yeah.
When I come up, everybody got to come up. You know what I'm saying? And my family, even everybody tell me, you try to help too many people. But the problem is, if I don't,
who will? Right.
Who will?
You know, and that's you know, I heard this man a while back, is that the fact that we got too many people, man, trying to build bigger fences. We got people trying to build bigger fences, but not longer tables. So we need people, man, that want to build longer tables. And I see that in you. I see that. I hear the passion within you. So why is it important to have proper leadership?
You really just want to just keep pulling me into this deep, don't you?
Hey, man. This is the sit down.
The sit down.
You know?
The reason that we must have proper leadership is the fact that we got to have informed, educated, knowledgeable leaders who are willing to share.
Absolutely. Okay.
That's what I call proper leadership.
Okay.
The ones that are willing to not only know what to do, know how to do it, but are willing to raise up other leaders. My famous statement I make all the time.
Yeah.
That, you know, good leaders make followers.
Mm-hmm.
Great leaders make leaders.
Absolutely.
I don't need followers.
Absolutely.
I need you to be able to take whatever it is that you've learned in my space, in my time, and turn it into your time, in your space.
Absolutely.
You know, we got this new thing that's going on now that everybody's talking about pay forward. Life should be paid forward.
Absolutely.
If you've been blessed and you've been helped, and you've been mentored, then you ought to do the same. Because
it's a requirement.
It's a requirement.
It's God's method. He put it into play.
It is.
You know, and what I tell people, you know, you go in the Bible, you know, before Adam even seen Eve, he had work. He had work. So we got this thing backwards. We don't want to work. We want this thing, like you said, 45 seconds on the microwave. Ding! No, that's what we want. So what is missing today in leadership?
You know, I think it's across the board, not just in leadership.
Okay.
It's this thing we call loyalty.
Oh, say that word.
It has died.
Yeah,
There was a time when loyalty was the norm.
Yes.
I grew up in that era.
Yeah, absolutely.
And one of the things that the old men taught me was this, that if you messed up, you know, they would be there to, they'd bust your butt in private.
Yeah.
But they would cover you in public.
Say that.
You know what I'm saying? So they would make sure, but you would learn a lesson in the process of that. What's missing now is that we don't have people that we can trust anymore.
Oh my God, man.
Because there's no loyalty.
That's right.
Because I get on the camera and I smile and I say one thing in front of the people, raise my hand, throw your hands in the air, wave them like you just don't care because I'm here. And then as soon as the door is closed, they forget your name. They forget who you are. That's what's happening in our city.
Absolutely.
That's what's happening now.
Absolutely.
Is the fact that we are missing loyalty in our public service.
Yes, we are.
They're not loyal to the community anymore. They're loyal to themselves and their own self-interest.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? And that is what's the missing piece that I've seen. That I've seen firsthand. Yeah. Not just... And everything that I'm saying on this podcast is not what I've been told. It's what I've seen.
Absolutely.
I've been in politics since I was 13 years old.
Absolutely.
I know the game. Okay. I know where it is. Yeah. I just choose to play by my own set of rules.
Yeah. Yeah. Absolutely. Absolutely. Man, let me tell y'all a little bit about this podcast. All right, this podcast is free of judgment. This podcast is about inspiring people and encouraging them to be their best and to live their best life. These conversations are about truth and no fear. And you can share your truth with respect. This podcast has conversations with interesting people of all nationalities and all different areas of life who are here to give insight, upliftment, and help advance the culture. This podcast wants to have people who spread unity, peace, love, awareness, and positivity. I will engage in conversations that help us move the culture. I'm a diverse individual. Ladies and gentlemen, my mama named me Earl Belton. Welcome to the sit down. Welcome to the sit down. That's what I'm talking about. So Nelson, man, you served as a Democratic representative, man, before 1987, 1991 in Louisiana. What was it like? Talk to me, man. Tell us what was it like.
You got to understand Louisiana politics.
Yeah.
When you ask that question.
Yeah.
Louisiana politics is if you heard of Huey Long, Governor Huey Long.
Yeah.
There was some rough politics back then.
Oh, yeah.
I came up in the Edwin Edwards era.
He was
the governor of Louisiana.
Yeah.
And, you know, I really wasn't going to run. That was not my intention to run.
Really?
No.
Okay.
No, I don't think I've ever said this publicly like this on a podcast, but it wasn't my intention to run. My intention was to go to register to vote.
Wow.
Yeah, I went to go register to vote.
Yeah.
And when I got there, they had this cute girl in the line behind me, and she was coming to register to vote.
Okay.
But I was in the wrong line.
Oh,
and I was in the wrong line because I was watching the cute girl.
Yeah.
By the time I get up to the counter, the people said, okay, you know, are you here, you know, what office are you running for?
And
I said, well, let me, you know, she showed me the list. And I just saw that. I said, here, representative. I just checked the paper. You know? I checked the paper. And then she said, and she hit the computer. She said, what's your name again? I told her my name. She said, are you registered? Well, I said, no, that's what I come to do. She said, okay. So I filled out the paper.
Yeah.
And so by the time the girl was up next to me at the thing, and then so she says loudly, so you're not going to run, you're not qualifying for the office? And the girl looked, and I said, yeah, I'm qualifying for that too, you know?
Yeah.
And then she told me it was $600.
Yeah.
I said, I'm 18 years old.
Absolutely.
I don't have $600, but I'm right. Not going to be
fronted. Like In front of everybody. By this woman. That look fine.
No, I'm not doing it. I'm just not going to do it.
That's what I'm talking about.
Not going to do it.
Yeah.
And so, you know, come made a phone call. My boy, he was upstairs in his office. He brought me the money. I qualified. Yeah. It didn't hit me until I got home what I had done.
Show out mode at its best.
At its best.
But don't know what happened.
I called my mentor, and I said, hey, this is what I've done. He said, well, you got work to do,
son. Absolutely.
And he sit me down for 5 days straight.
Yeah.
And taught me what it is that I was getting myself into.
Absolutely.
And he said, now that you, do you want to continue or do you want to get out?
Absolutely.
And I said, I think I want to do this. And armed with a few door signs and about $75.
Yeah.
I hit the streets.
There you go.
And I went door to door.
There you go.
And I knocked on doors. And the night, you know, how everybody had the election party and everything. And I was at the church at the Boys Club. And we had the Boys Club. Boys Club of America. I was at the Boys Club. And our church was having an event with them. And a lady came and tapped me on the shoulder. She said, congratulations. I said, for what?
She said, you didn't even know you won.
She said, you won.
No, man. You didn't know you won.
I had not. I was busy serving.
Yeah.
I was serving. I was working. So I didn't know I had won, but I won. And, you know, it was a joyous moment.
Yeah.
The weight set on my shoulders.
Absolutely.
And so when the weight set on my shoulders, I wasn't prepared for it like I thought I was.
Okay.
And I got in office. I was in office from 87 to 91. And due to the gerrymandering of the district, I didn't run again because they redo the districts.
Yeah.
Like we're getting ready to do next year.
Okay.
They redo the districts and the redistricting. And the district became a totally different district, and I didn't run again. But I'll tell you what the experience was for me. Was I was unprepared. I served, but I didn't serve as well as I wanted to because okay. I didn't know what I know now.
Okay.
But I know now that I'm positioned now.
Seasoned.
Because I've been seasoned.
Absolutely.
I've had life. I've had struggle. I've had strain.
Yeah.
That has prepared me for this time right now.
Now, not only were you the youngest elected official, you're the youngest in the whole USA, brother.
In the USA.
Come on, man. Come on, man. Come on, man. Jet Magazine. Come on, man. Accomplishment after accomplishment. How in the... I ain't even going to say that because of who you are. But how did you handle that, man?
It was rough. It was rough because I wasn't seasoned.
Yeah.
When you're in leadership or you're in power,
yeah,
you've got to be prepared for that.
All right. You're right. You've
got to be prepared for it. The reason why a lot of our brothers are making mistakes and have made mistakes is because they've been put in positions that they were ill-prepared for.
Okay.
You see what I'm saying?
Okay.
But my life has prepared me for whatever come with me.
Okay. All right.
You know what I'm saying? My life has prepared me for.
Absolutely.
You know, I'm able to stand up under the weight.
There we go.
Of whatever there might be.
There we go.
You know, a lot has happened. A lot has transpired, even in processing to getting to where today.
Absolutely.
You know, these last 2 weeks have been, I mean, just a whirlwind of pain.
Yeah.
But we're still standing because we understand that in service, sometimes you have to lead while wounded.
Absolutely. Say that, brother. Say that.
You got to lead while wounded.
Yeah.
Because the people are expecting, no matter what.
Yeah.
I mean, they're expecting you still to be the servant.
Absolutely.
Whether you're wounded or not.
Yes, they do.
You know, if you're hungry, they don't matter that you're hungry.
Yeah.
Just make sure they eat.
Absolutely.
You know, and that is how our community is built because we expect our leaders to be accountable irregardless to what their struggle is.
Man.
You know, I want to lead in a way to where people can relate.
Yes.
Not only relate to me as an individual, but relate to me as a leader. And being able to know that what I bring to the table is not for their destruction, but for their development.
Well, let's just get away from politics for a second, man. Because I'd like to get off into this, brother.
I'm good with that.
Made man. Tell me about it, man. How did it form? Why are you so passionate about it? Let's come on, man. You know, I gotta know this.
You might get a better conversation.
Let's go, man.
Made man is my life.
Okay.
And when I say that, I mean that really. Like you.
Yeah.
You say we've all made mistakes, right?
Absolutely.
So when I had a big mental fight with myself about life because I, you know, you mess up.
Absolutely.
God gives you a chance. You mess up again.
Yeah.
He gives you another chance. You mess up again.
Absolutely.
He gives you another chance. And I was sick of the cycle.
Man.
I was sick of the cycle. And I never forget laying in my bed one night and I said, God, I want to do something different.
Yeah.
To make a difference in people's lives. And I don't know what it is that I'm supposed to do, but I need you to tell me.
Absolutely.
And he led me to Genesis 1:26-27.
Yeah.
And God said, let us make man in our own image and after our own likeness. And in 27, he said he made them both male and female.
All right. Yeah.
Made men.
Yeah.
I was like, he said, I want you to make men. I was like, how do I do that?
Yeah.
And he said, in order for us to be successful, we got to go back to the basics.
Yes.
We need to know how to read.
Yeah.
We need to know how to write.
Mm-hmm.
We need an education. We need to be able to do that. And the people that I was meeting were after school. you know, were at, they were out of school. They had no idea to run, go back to school.
Yeah.
But they still needed a job.
Yeah.
You know, and God placed us to get a contract with the state to develop a curriculum called Life Strategies. Life Strategies was 2 hours of workforce development, two hours of life skills, and 2 hours of healthy relationships and fatherhood.
Right.
You know, where we sit a man and a woman in a classroom for 6 hours a day.
Yeah.
We give them breakfast. You know, we pick them up in the morning. We give them breakfast. We had 2 hours of life skills. We had 2 hours of workforce development. We had lunch. And then we had our evening, afternoon programming.
Yeah.
And then we brought them home and we provided childcare. I mean, and it was a holistic program that changed lives.
Absolutely, man.
You know, that changed. Absolutely. That I had people every day, you know, saying how it has affected life. Even now, we're walking in the building. And a lady stopped me and hugged me. And she said, "You changed my life." And I was like, and I had to look because I had to say, you know, I'll be honest. I'm saying it out loud and I hope she hears. You know, I really didn't remember.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Because there's so many people.
But that's the effect, man.
You know, and it's humbling because I'm on my way to talk to you and she hits me at the door. And I'm like, wow.
See, there's no such thing as coincidence, man. That was an appointed time for you to get to let you know that what you're doing, you're making a difference, man. I mean, dealing with people who come out of incarceration, man, that is something that's needed. But we overlook that is because we just put them out there, give them a few dollars, and we expect them to transition back into life.
You know, and I know that's probably going to be the one thing that gets me in a world of trouble is because I can't be silent.
Yeah.
You know, about that.
Yeah.
People don't understand what it means when the gate is closed and you don't know when or how or if you're going to ever return back into society.
Mm-hmm.
Even though they tell you, okay, I was giving you this sentence and this is the amount of time that you're going to have to do. People don't know what happens on the other side that you may not come back.
Absolutely.
You know, there's so much that's going on that you may not. I was looking at, and I shared this with another state legislator. He was like, "Man, I wonder what's going on in Lansing. They're rioting." I said, "First of all, let me explain something to you. Men incarcerated don't riot just to riot.
No, that just don't happen, man.
It just don't. They don't riot to riot. If there's a riot going on, that means that something on the inside is happening that is an injustice to an individual or a group of individuals.
Absolutely.
And you understand, because everybody on the inside that's working on the inside ain't right.
I don't say that, bro. I'm just saying, you know,
so,
I can tell you, know, you on both sides because I done been on that corner.
Ditto.
I done been there.
Ditto. So, you know, we understand that what's going on because people, I tell them all the time, you got to understand that you can't expect a man to go into incarceration, come out, and be this person.
Magically.
Now, transformation the process may begin on the inside. And it looks good.
Yeah.
Because, I found God. I did this. I've gotten my life together.
Yeah.
But the reality is,
as soon as you come out that
when you cross on back on the other side,
man,
there are factors that you haven't factored in that don't make it look so good.
Man.
You come home.
Say it.
To a woman that don't want you no more.
Say it, bro.
Children who have forgotten who you are.
Man.
A church that ain't ready to receive you because they're
ashamed of
you.
Say that, man.
And a community that don't know you, don't even know who you are anymore.
Yeah.
So those are some mitigating factors that people don't really understand that people have to overcome. So what you've done is I've been sentenced to time.
Yeah.
I've done time.
Yeah.
And I come home and continue to do time. Has got to change right there to make this thing equal.
Yeah, man. I'm going to tell you this. We have forgot about the incarcerated. We've forgotten about it as a people. And I'm going to just be honest with you. And I say this, man, and I keep telling these youngsters this. I was just having some conversation with some youngsters the other day. Matter of fact, I was having a conversation with this young brother yesterday, and I told him just straight off the bat, man, you don't get no damn brownie points for going to jail.
None. You lose them.
You go to jail by yourself. You can't call your homeboy up and be like, hey, man, it's Friday night. Come in here. Stay here, man, just so I can come out, man, and I'll be back Saturday. Ain't none of that happening.
You just by yourself. I tried to tell you a little bit earlier. Loyalty is gone, man. The streets ain't what it used to be.
Yeah, oh, man.
You know, loyalty, I mean, you know, it used to be I'm going to hold you down if you hold me down.
Absolutely.
You know, now we're holding down to get down.
And what I've been seeing every single day is the fact that we tear each other down just because. I mean, I was listening to Ricky Smiley yesterday. His daughter got shot innocently. She was in a crossfire. Two guys shooting at each other and she gets shot. His daughter going to college. And it happens every day in our community. It happens every day. And he was saying how grateful he is that he's able to go to the hospital. But there were some other people who got killed. They families at the funeral home.
Yep.
You know? And we as a people, man, we get to a point to where we don't like to see progress. We have never understood what it was to be happy for somebody who is successfully moving without us wanting to tear it down. So that goes into the next topic. And man, I'm going to let you know something, man. I got four mentors. And so I know how you feel about, you know, mentorship. So good, strong mentors are needed in the community. You know, how did you get involved with that?
There was it was several years ago. There was a program. Well, it's called Mentor now.
Okay.
The National Mentoring Partnership. It was a mentoring partnership.
Yeah.
And there was a guy, Larry, out of Philadelphia.
Okay.
And then the mayor of Philadelphia, Wilson Good.
Wow. Okay.
Wilson Good came to Kansas City several years ago, and he and I we're working together with the Machi Project, trying to bring it here, and working in mentorship. And I've always had the philosophy that everybody needs somebody.
Absolutely, yeah, you know, we know. That's true.
I hear this. I can do this by myself. I can make it by myself. But if you're saying that, you're really, really, really fooling yourself.
Absolutely.
And I'm just gonna go on record.
Say it, man.
I fooled myself for a number of years.
Yeah.
You know, because I used to say this thing that when I go to bed, everybody go to bed. When I ate, everybody ate.
Okay.
You know, when I go to sleep, everybody sleep.
Uh-huh.
And that has not been the truth.
Yeah.
That was a falsehood that I fed myself for many years to cover the pain of people not being loyal.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, and I think that that's what has happened, especially in our community. We've had good mentorship and we've had bad mentorship.
Yeah.
You know, and let's just put it out there.
Absolutely.
So we're troubled now with trying to realize who's really on our side and who's really not.
Man.
So finding a mentor, a real mentor is going to challenge you.
Absolutely.
To do as much as you can on your own and give you direction.
Absolutely.
That's what real mentors do.
Absolutely.
You know, real mentors are ones that are going to challenge you. Not amen everything that you do.
That ain't a mentor.
That's not a
yes man.
That's yes.
Yeah.
You know, you need somebody to tell you that it stinks when it stinks.
Absolutely. And how bad it stinks.
And they tell you it's good when it's good. And so I think that one of the difficulties has been, and I heard this from some mentors. I was on a conference call a couple of weeks ago, and some mentors were talking about some things, and they were sharing some things that they were going with. And one of the things is that they feel like they can't control the mentees.
Okay.
Okay, so here's the deal.
Okay.
Now, I got issues with that.
Yeah.
Issues with that is that You don't want a mentee that you can't control.
Right.
So what has happened, and I'm finding out, is that we don't have enough of us mentoring.
Say that.
Because
bro.
They,
that's real.
They are mentoring.
Yeah, that's real.
Us and don't understand who we are.
Absolutely.
I'm trying to say that. I'm trying to say that as politely.
No, man, you ain't got to say it politely. You know, I'll say it for you. We have fallen off, and I thank God for the mentors that I got. I thank God for them.
So, you know, and I thank God for my brothers and sisters, my Caucasian brothers and sisters.
Yeah.
But mentoring takes an understanding of my culture.
Absolutely.
You have to understand that I'm mad today, and you need to understand I'm not just mad just to be mad.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? You think that because I'm mad because my stomach is growling because I'm hungry, I didn't have no food. You know, you think I'm mad, and I'm mad because, you know, I had to sleep in the dark last night, but yet you want to come here and tell me what I needed to do differently.
Absolutely.
So, you don't understand what I'm going through.
That's it.
And what I'm feeling and what my society is placed upon me. So, you know, and not that I have anything against that, you know, cross-cultural mentoring. I mean, it's good. If somebody going to take some interest in somebody, like, hey, I'm with that. But at least learn and have discernment and understanding to be able to mentor in a way that is healthy. Because a lot of our kids right now are in some very unhealthy mentoring relationships.
Absolutely. Absolutely. What advice, man, would you give somebody who's looking to become a mentor and somebody who's looking to be mentored?
Listen, I'm going to tell you, and I'll just give a shout out to the brothers because they're doing a wonderful job. High Aspirations. Okay. Henry Walsh.
Okay.
Henry is doing an awesome job with Higher Aspirations.
Yeah.
And helping young men. There's a program, I think, Males to Men. Okay. A lady, a sister named, I can't call her name right now. I worked with her in a fatherhood project over here in Missouri at a church over here.
Okay.
I think off of Benton. I mean, you know, there's some great programs that are around that can help get somebody mentored. And the saddest part that I'm having right now, and that breaks my heart, is that our churches are not positioned for mentorship. And that should be the number one place where men can go.
Okay.
You know what I'm saying? And
okay.
Where young men, young girls ought to be able to go. Because there was a time when I was coming up in the church that the old deacons and the mothers would grab them young girls and pull their skirt down and have a conversation with them. Now they done got old and they sitting on the bench talking about them. That ain't what's up. Okay, I'm getting in trouble.
Man.
That's not.
I'm
that's
just saying, man. There was three men of God. Because I don't care, you know what I'm saying, about the title, whatever, bishop and reverend and all that. I'm talking about these are real men who we respected in the community because we was doing our thing.
Yeah.
All right. I'm talking about when they came in the hood, hey, put it up on it. Ain't nobody, don't nobody move. We ain't selling nothing. Ain't nobody doing nothing right here. There go bishop. You know what I'm saying? Don't move. Hey, boy, I told you, man. Don't move. Hey, man, ain't gonna move. Ain't nothing. We ain't doing nothing, man. But here's the thing. Here's the thing. What separated them? Here's the thing. What separated them? Big shout out to my pastor, Ron Lindsay. Talking about. He knew me before and after. All right. Just, you know that I got a few people. You know what I'm saying? Dr. Hartsfield.
Don't go there,
bro. I'm just saying, these was men that represented themselves in the position. But here's the thing about it. They didn't come down. They knew what we was doing because here's the thing about it. Pastor Hartsfield said, boy, I've been on that side.
Yeah.
I just didn't choose that.
Yeah.
I said, you think I get here and ain't been there?
Right.
Right? So I understand this, man, and so here's the next phase. See, I'm just saying, man, God is so good. He just rotating you all around. My questions, man. Leadership, you did it. Multiple churches, you did it. Senior pastor, you was at. What happened? What's going on, man, with the people, man, that we just not the church? We want to talk about people and not help them. What made you? I'm just saying, man. These leadership roles you played, you know, several churches,
Hold up.
Y'all hear me? Several.
Now you're in the politics. So you've been in leadership. You groomed in leadership. Where are we going, man? Where are we going?
I'm letting the airs out of my tires because this... You know, Earl, I have for years been asking the leaders of the leaders that I know. You talked about Dr. Hirschfeld.
Yeah.
When Dr. Hirschfeld has been in my life, all of my life. Man. Let me tell you, when he used to come to New Orleans and preach at our church.
Yeah.
And that's where I first met. I mean, I was a little boy.
Yeah.
You know, Dr. Hirschfeld, man, whenever just said Dr. Hirschfeld coming to town, I'm all excited.
Oh, yeah, man.
He was my favorite preacher.
He was a
preacher,
real dude, man.
He was my favorite preacher.
Yeah.
When I moved to Kansas City, and the first week I was here, I went over to his church, and he literally cried when he saw me. He said, man, and I told him I was here now. And he took me, and he sit me down, and he gave me words of wisdom.
Absolutely.
He gave me words of wisdom.
Absolutely.
He has been a constant in my life in Kansas City.
Yeah.
I mean... Everything that I've learned here, he has really
Absolutely.
Been he was that mentor.
Yeah, man.
He was that man that I could call no matter what.
He would,
you know, I had him call, hey man, come, you know, I you know, driven him, and I told and his daughters, I told him anything that he needs, anything he wants, you know, just let me know. Your pastor Ryan Lindsay.
Yeah.
Ryan Lindsay has been a friend.
Oh,
you know
man.
What I'm saying? Ryan has been. And these are men who I know have given example.
Yes. Yeah.
So, I'm going to ask you a question
in Absolutely.
Two ways.
Absolutely.
The first one I'm going to answer is that people can only lead in their capacity.
Absolutely.
We're expecting, we have an expectancy of leaders beyond their capacity.
Yeah, say that, bro. That's it. That's it.
We have an expectancy.
That's it.
Beyond their capacity.
Yeah.
Every leader is not able to handle every situation.
Absolutely. We're going to
And then out. We have leaders
yeah.
that are in place
yeah.
that should not be.
Absolutely. See, here's the thing. Look, we can just break it down, all right? Everybody can't make brownies. You know what I'm saying? So you want him to make brownies. He's not qualified to make brownies. He's good with cookies.
And that's where I make my exit.
You know what I'm saying? Just, hey, man, we just got to be real. We just got to be real, man. I mean, you got so much experience, man, in serving people. You got so much experience in leadership, man. You have been doing this for many, many years. Many years.
All but right. don't forget that it has not come without a price.
Absolutely.
And it's Absolutely. Not come without struggle.
Absolutely.
And it's not come without strain. You know, I tell people, you know, you look at me and you talk about, well, I want what he got. I want to do the way he did it. No, you don't.
No, you gotta do your own.
you don't want my shoes.
You gotta follow your own path, man.
Yeah, you don't want these shoes. Yeah. These shoes have had some lonely nights.
Yeah.
Some long nights.
Yeah.
And some no nights.
Say that.
So, you know, you really don't want them. But what you want is the conversation with this leader.
Yeah.
That can give you some experience.
Absolutely.
That can help you not make those same
Absolutely.
Mistakes. That can help you to be leaders. And that's what I want to take to compete. To
Absolutely.
People. I want to go and get the knowledge.
Yeah.
I want to be able to learn what is it going to take.
Yeah.
Already. I mean, I got ideas.
Yeah.
Everybody got ideas.
Yeah.
But all ideas don't fit all situations.
That's real.
You
That's
can't
real.
Cookie cut what's going to happen in Topeka.
Yeah.
So you need people that are going to be informed enough
Absolutely.
To bring it back and inform the people so that people can make a conscious decision.
Absolutely.
And one closing thought is this.
Yeah.
Don't let anyone tell you that your vote does not matter.
Absolutely, man.
Vote matters.
Say that.
Vote matters. It may not seem like it to you.
Yeah.
But it matters because your vote brings about a change. Okay,
Absolutely.
If you don't think your vote don't matter, Just think about the brother who lost by 100 votes.
Yeah.
And he had 101 people in his family that didn't go vote.
Yeah. See, that's what I'm talking about.
Your vote matters.
Absolutely. So, first of all, man, I just want to thank you, man, for giving me this opportunity.
Thank you,
man,
for having me.
I just want to give you your just due. I got a segment, man, that I just created. It's called Tip Your Hat. And the reason why I invented this, I was listening to Dr. Martin Luther King. I was listening to Farrakhan. I was listening to Joel Osteen. I was listening to Bishop Jakes. I was listening to Tony Robbins. I was listening to Les Brown, one of my favorite motivational speakers, man. And I came across this tip you had. Is the reason being is because a lot of people, man, have not heard the word thank you. A lot of people have not heard the word, man, you're doing a good job. So we here, man, at the sit down, man, Mr. Nelson, we want to give you your flowers while you're living, man, and we want to tip our hat to you.
Appreciate you. Thank you.
We want to tip our hat to you, bro.
Thank you so much. I appreciate that. I'm humbled by this.
Hey, man.
Very humbled.
I mean, you know, before we get out of here, man, anything else you want to touch on, man, before we get out of here?
I just want to say that I am humbled by the opportunity to be here.
Absolutely.
I'm humbled by the opportunity to be a candidate for the Kansas State House of Representatives, District 35.
Yeah.
I'm humbled and truly humbled to be the president and CEO of Made Men. I am truly humbled to serve my city, my state, and my region.
Absolutely.
Just as the individual. I just pray for the opportunity to take all that my sum of life has created in me, and to be able to bring that as a voice on August 4th to Topeka.
Absolutely.
to serve the people of my county and my state. And
absolutely.
And as hard as I work at Made Men, and as hard as I work at home, it's going to be as hard as I work in Topeka.
Hey, man, I want to say this, man, and I really want you to understand this, man. However, that we need to get people to pay attention to August the 4th. August the 4th, right?
August the 4th?
August the 4th. We need to, you know, get awareness going on that. And, I mean, somebody listening right now, you know, they might be, you know, on that edge, because you know how we are. We wait till we get, you know, the whole half part of our body over the edge before we really understand.
Right.
But if somebody, man, that may want to get involved with Made Men, may want to get involved with your campaign.
Right.
How do they reach out to you?
So here's the deal. On the Made Men side, you can go to our website, www.made-men.org.
Okay.
Or you can call our office at 913-521-9400.
Absolutely.
They can get information on our website on how they get a GED, how to get a high school diploma, how to get a job.
Yeah.
We have a food pantry. We have other exciting things that we're going to be doing.
Okay.
So that's the exciting part on that. On the campaign side, they can go to www.nelsongabriel.com.
Okay.
All of our campaign stuff is on there. They can email us from the website, send us a message. And or our Facebook page, Elect Nelson Gabriel.
Yeah.
And they can send us a message, and we can get them a yard sign. We can get them whatever they need, because come what may.
Absolutely.
I'm still going to be a leader.
Say that, bro.
August 4th and beyond.
Say that, man. Say that, man. Say that, man. I'm just honored, man, to have you here. I really appreciate you being here. This has really enlightened me, and knowing all of this stuff that I'm learning about you, man, has made me realize that, you know, as I said in the beginning, made me realize that I want to be a better servant.
Amen.
And I'm truly honored for that. This the time of the day, man, where I give you the quote of the day, all right? And let me tell you something. I just have, because, you know, this is Mr. Gabriel in the building. It's Mr. Gabriel. I did a little something special. So I was just listening today. I was listening to Jesse Jackson. Listening to a few other people. And the quote of the day is this. to be a part of change, you got to use your voter power. Change comes when you stand up for what's right. Now, I need y'all feel me. To be a part of change, you must use voter power. Change comes when you stand up for what's right, all right? That's right. I stole it from him. So what? Tell him about it. No, I'm gonna just keep it real with y'all. We gotta start. We gotta use this voter power. We gotta use the voter power. Until next time, y'all.